Turn your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter number 23. Tonight we want to see several pictures of the Word of God. And remember last Sunday, the first response Jesus gave to the temptation of the devil, what was it? Anyone remember? The first, it is written. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I really believe if we are going to move forward this year and live for Christ, then we have to make sure that we are living every word that God has for us. Remember, God will never ever give you something that is unreasonable. If he said that no man lives by bread alone, by every word, that he means that. It's not unreasonable because he gives us the means to do it, the power to do it. And so I don't know about you, but do you want to live by every word? Amen. Or just on the on salvation? Isn't that what happened to the believers in Hebrews? Paul, I say Paul because it... Oh, I think the Hebrew writer was Paul, okay? Let me say this to you. Paul wanted him to go to perfection. And so if we're going to do that, then we need every word of God. So I want to give you 10, at least 10 pictures. I think there's a few more. And if you do the maths. If I work 5 minutes on every point, that's 50 minutes. 5 minutes on the introduction, 5 minutes, that's an hour. So I narrowed it down to 5. But I couldn't help myself, then I went down to 4. And maybe we'll look at 1 tonight. But anyway, let's just keep going. I won't waste any more time. But the pictures, the first one is the fire. God likens his word as fire. Okay, the second is a hammer. The third is a sword. The fourth is a mirror. The fifth is a light. 6 is a seed. 7 is water. And then milk. And then meat, and then what's the last one? Bread. No man shall live by bread alone. There's a contrast there. But by every word of God, God likens his word as food. Okay? And so we're going to look at the first tonight. We'll look at these the first couple we'll look at tonight and the rest another time. Jeremiah 23:29. Notice what he says, God speaking, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire? So he likens his word to be like fire. So we have to ask the question, it's only fair, what's the context and why does the Lord liken his word like a fire? Well, have a look at the beginning of chapter number 23 and we see a proclamation against the pastors that led God's people astray. Have a look in verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Wow. Woe unto them. Have a look at verse 11. For both prophet and priest are profound. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Remember, what's a prophet? Prophet is one that speaks to the people on behalf of God. What's a priest? A priest is one that speaks to God on behalf of the people. And they were profound, they were defiled, they were out of the way. And so we see that there's a judgment upon these teachers that are leading God's people astray. Now, is it possible to have corruption in our good churches today? Is it possible to have, you know, pastors that are teaching contrary to the Word of God or teaching the people of God in a wrong way? Is it possible? Absolutely. The answer is yes. And God will expose that kind of pastor that leads the people astray. And you say, how is he going to do it? By the fire of God's word. And so that's why God, one way God likens his word is as a fire. A fire. Remember, fire, what it does, it exposes. Fire brings heat to see if that metal is true, what it is. Gold, is it pure gold? And so what the Word of God does is test those preachers or those pastors, see if they are legit. Have a look at verse 25. I have heard what the prophets said. That prophesy what? What do they prophesy? Lies in whose name? Wow, in my name saith, saying, I have dreamed, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that have my word, let him speak my word. How? Faithfully. So what is the chaff or to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord? What's the chaff to the wheat? Again, there's a contrast between the chaff and the wheat. And the wheat is the good food. He likens his word as good food. The pastor should be feeding the flock good food. What's chaff? Chaff, worthless, fluff, no substance, gone with the wind, doesn't hold, doesn't stick, lies, deceit, handling the word of God deceitfully. And the word of God, which is the fire, likened to be like a fire, exposes and if not even burns the chaff. It exposes. You say, why do we keep preaching against false prophets and teachers? For that reason, so we can expose their lies. And we have, I believe, we've come to the age that we have more false prophet, I believe, than any age. I really believe that. And so that means the more false prophets they are, the more what? Fire. The preaching of the word has to go forth, because I tell you, you'll be one of these people in the last days that will be gone with the culture of the Christendom that we have today. And you know, it's fluff. It is absolutely fluff. And so we need to continue to have the fire of rebuke. We need to continue to have the fire of reproof and the fire of exhortation and the fire of doctrine, divine doctrine, not just any kind of doctrine. There's a book called, I don't know if you've heard it, Worship Wars. And it was written by a man named Robert Bax. I don't know if you're familiar with him. Robert Bax is a pastor of a church called Lighthouse Baptist Church. It's one of the largest churches in Australia, independent Baptist and influential. He's got a public ministry, a Bible college, a school. David Cloud said regarding this book, he said in 42 years of ministry, Worship Wars is the most dangerous book I have read by an independent Baptist pastor. Worship Wars aggressively defend Christian rock music and is an invitation to young people to experiment with the world's music. Now, I don't want to waste time tonight talking about this book. I don't. However, I want to give you just a little quote that he said, and you can go look it up if you want to quote me on that. But this is a quote from his book, and he says this. He says, personally, I do not consider rap music a suitable medium for corporate worship. But I do concede or admit this style has had evangelistic value with a select target group of people. Christian contemporary rapper Lecrae, or I don't know, how do you pronounce his name? He says this, Lecrae, I've never heard of him, but he says this, has undoubtedly been used of God. Now be careful, because we're going to get there in a moment. By his own mouth, this pastor says that he's been used of God. Now that's a big statement to say. Okay, that he's been used of God to reach thousands of people with the gospel who relate to rap style of music. Now, let me ask you a question. What is rap music associated with when you think about it? What is it? Gangster. I've got that here. Gangster. Anyone can give me another one? Rebellion. Okay, I'm going to add one there. And drugs, and murder, and rape. Isn't that what you think about when you think about rap? Come on. Come on. Anybody with some sense will agree with that. Anyone with some sense. But here's a pastor. I don't care if you're a pastor. What did we just read? that there's going to be pastors, false pastors, but he's got a beautiful smile. I don't care if he's got a smile. I don't care if he's got a good set of teeth, my friend. If anybody's teaching God's people that rap music is acceptable unto God and a medium to reach people with the gospel is a liar. Because it's not. It's not. It's rubbish. It's a lie. It's of the devil. There's no way in the world God will ever condone that music. There's no way in the world that God will be for that music or use that music as a medium to reach people with the gospel. You think God needs rap music to do it? No way in the world. This is rubbish. 1 Thessalonians says, like we looked, you know, last week, to abstain from what? All appearances of? And isn't rap an appearance of evil? I mean, just that one verse there just seals the deal, don't you think? Just that one verse. Okay, and so we see, again, I don't want to waste time, but I want you to see that this, I looked this guy, this Christian rapper up, and his third album, believe it or not, is called Rebel. Rebel. And you know what he raps about? That we should be Christians rebelling against now, not God, but the world. Any kind of rebellion is disgusting. Any kind. Does God want us to rebel against the government? No. He says, submit yourselves to the government. And he's singing how we ought to be rebelling against the government. And by the way, this made it to, I didn't even know it made it to the 40th annual GMA Dove Awards. I thought, Dove Awards? Is there a, for Christian music? And that's the award right there. It's got a dove on it. You know, the dove that symbolizes the Holy Spirit. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's a bit warped. That's a bit warped. Did the Bema seat come early? Only God can reward people, by the way. No man here on earth can reward anybody. God only makes that decision. And so we see that he's been awarded for an album called Rebel. Some people made a comment about this on YouTube. He says this, one of the guys that was following this rapper, that Pastor Back says that he's used of God. He says this, I listen to all sorts of hip-hop, from Tupac to NAS or NAS, I don't know who that is, from Dr. Dre to Mobb Deep, but I stay having faith in God, little g. He just writes a little g, even though I've been on the gangster vibes. I listen to the Lecrae in my daily. Another one said, it's time to rebel against this world and shine the light. I mean, is that reaching people for Jesus? Is that how it looks like? And in this book, you have a prominent independent Baptist pastor promoting this. He said, we won't use it in church, but we can use it to reach people with the gospel. Are you kidding me? Lying, liars, false. There's no way in the world that God is for this or God condones this. This is rubbish. This is rubbish. When Moses and Joshua, or at least Moses, came down from Mount Sinai and met with Joshua there on the mountain, you know what Joshua said to Moses when he heard the music that they were dancing to when they were worshiping the golden calf? You know what he said? He says, this sounds like war. Sounds like war. Can you imagine with me? Like, just try to imagine Joshua saying to Moses, Moses, what do you think? We go down with the Ten Commandments and do a bit of dance so we can reach the people worshipping the golden calf. Maybe they'll listen to you. You know, we want to try to appeal to them. I mean, these are rebels that are disobeying God. They're worshipping an idol. Why don't we do a little dance with them and tell them to repent with the Ten Commandments over our heads? You hold one and I hold one. Isn't that silly? That's silly, right? You think there's no way in the world. Moses, a man that had shined the glory of God, saw God, would ever think about doing that. No way in the world. You laugh at even the concept of it. So what did he do? Have a look at Exodus chapter 32. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither it is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. So they're singing. And it came to pass, as soon as they came right into the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses is, what happened to Moses? His anger waxed hot. Wow. What's that right there? Fire. Fire. And he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire. That's what should happen. That's what should happen for CDs and all this rubbish that is ungodly and of the devil. They need to be burned, not mimicked, not used. We need to cast them out and burn them. And he grounded it to powder and strawed it upon it with water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Think, what is this? Fire? With someone that was holy? These are not holy men of God. These are liars. These are seers and prophets that teach God's people the wrong way. That's what they are. That's what they are. By the way, the Ten Commandments of God are called a fiery law. Have a look at chapter 33 and verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with the 10,000 of saints from his right hand, went a fiery law for them. You know, the fire also talks about a burning message of judgment. Have a look at Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 14. He says, wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth. What is it? Fire. Fire. What's the words in his mouth? Fire. The word of God. And this people would, and it shall devour them. Judgment. That's what God is saying. The people mocked Jeremiah for the message. You know, his message was hard. It was a burdensome. But the only reason it was a burdensome is because they were in rebellion. And so he didn't want to tone down the message. He was a faithful prophet of God that preached the word of God as God ordered him to preach it. And he did it, and he did it well, and he caught slack for it. He wasn't favorable. He was rejected. They were actually burdened and sad, saddened about the news. To them, it was bad news. But it would have been good news if they repented. Because God always gives room for people to repent, doesn't he? That's who God is. But they didn't want it. And so the word was a word of judgment that was put in his mouth. And God put it in there. Burning. Burning. And not only this, but the fire talks about a burning desire to preach the word. Have a look at Jeremiah chapter 20. He keeps saying, this fire that God has gives us, it's fire in our bones, and it is. She can't do anything else. Look what he said in verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak of any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. At one point he thought, man, I just can't do this anymore. I can't do it. Yeah, you felt that way. Any person here that goes out and preaches the word of God feels that way one way or another. You feel I just can't do it. Sometimes even preaching on this pulpit, you feel, man, have I really been called to this? I know I am because I just can't do anything else. There's a fire in my bones. You know, sometimes you haven't preached for a week or two. You think, oh, I'm burning up. I need to go somewhere and preach. And you just preach in the car and you preach to your kids. They're looking at you like this. You just preach everywhere you go. You preach to the birds on the mountain. Everywhere you go, you just preach. There's a fire in your bones. You can't contain it, especially in the day that we live in. The day that we live in, God puts that fire in the bones. Where does that fire come from to preach the word of God? From God. Because his word is like a fire. He won't. And by the way, if you've been caught to preach, you know you're caught because you can't do anything else. You can try. But even as you go and try, there's fire in your bones. There's fire. That's how you know if you're caught to preach, amen. You know, Paul the Apostle from time to time understood what it meant to quit. And I can only see this because of what he said to Timothy. He said, preach the word to Timothy. Be instant, in season and out of season. How? Reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the what? Truth, and shall be turned unto fables. I tell you something, people like Robert Bax and other people that want to dumb down the word of God and say that rap music is a medium to preach the gospel are people that are itching ears, and I guarantee you they're goat entertainers. They just want to entertain the goats. And from my own ears, when I went there to pastor's refresher school that he holds every year for pastors, he's the pastor of pastors. He teaches the pastors. One of the principles he had there, he says, the principle of the wow factor. When people walk in that church, nothing's happened yet. They need to go, wow. And that's why you need to get fluorescent lights. I don't know if he's got smoke machines yet, but that's the extent that you go to create this wow factor. And back then, we were in a building that was about to fall over. We were meeting in a building that was built in World War II. And the only thing wow about it is every time we walked, it made noise. I think you were there, Kira, when we first started. There was nothing wow about it. The Sunday school were meeting in the kitchen. But you know what was wow? The word of God was preached. I'll never forget it. And that's all that matters. That the word of God, the fire of God's word is being lit and keeps. I don't care about what. Listen, if you're going to be moved by the culture or by the responses of people, you are done. You are finished. You might as well just pack your bags and go home. D.L. Moody said, if God has given you a message, go and give it to the people as God has given it to you. And that's what Jeremiah did. That's what he did. But not only this, it's like as a hammer, not only fire, hammer. A hammer. He says, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Yes, it is. Therefore, notice what he says. Behold, I am against who? The prophets, saith the Lord, that what? That steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. You know who God is against? And you know what God will do with his word? He will break the hardest of heads and the hardest of hearts. He's against those that take the word of God from those people that want to hear it, or take the word of God from the prophet of God and make it their own. Dumb down the word of God. Reteach what the preacher is teaching. Over the years, it doesn't really mean that. Oh, the preacher's too much. Yeah. That's dumbing down the word of God. That's reteaching what the preacher's actually preached, and I've almost seen it done over the years over here. Reteaching, dumbing down the word of God, and we're trying to preach and trying to instill something that's going to last in people's life, and you have these parents coming and say, it doesn't really mean that. And most of them are ladies that open the Bible like this and say, Pastor, don't you think this means this? I say, you're way out of context. Doesn't even say that. I believe today we have an epidemic of Jezebels roaming around reteaching preachers and getting rid of God's prophets and burning them up just by trying to undermine the preaching of the Word of God. Yeah. But when you preach and keep preaching, the hammer goes down and down and keeps going down, and something has to give.
You just pound, keep pounding the Word of God in the hearts. And let's keep it in context. We all know that the spirit of the preacher needs to be intact. But you all know what I'm talking about. We're talking about the powerful Word of God. That's the context. That's the context. That God's Word ought to be preached and proclaimed with liberty, and no one trying to dumb it down, because it is powerful, it's sharp. We're going to see that in a moment, because it's likened as a sword. But look at verse 31. He says, behold, again, three times he says this. God speaking, I am against the prophets, saith who? The Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Who saith? God saith. Isn't that what Robert Back said? Absolutely. He said that God has used this rapper to reach so many people. How does he know? How? He said, God saith. But God is against those that say, God saith. That he doesn't even know. How many of those that are taking place today? The false prophets that God is against and preachers are promoting. False prophets. Saying that God said when God didn't say, rubbish, just to build their mega churches. Yeah, you say, oh, you're trying the motives now. How do you know it's just about that? How? Well, I don't. But you look around and you see every single fault. Most of those mega churches have false prophets in them. Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland, and all these other people that want to, Rick Warren, and you got these little independent pastors that want to be like them. And they want to promote these rappers and Hillsong and these different, why? For what purpose? And create the wow that God is in it when God is not in it, and God is against it, and they use God's name in vain. But God's word is like a hammer. Breaks all that rubbish into pieces. You say, how does it do it? You need more prophets like Jeremiah in these last days to preach. That's how you do it. And the people that want to stay will stay, and the people want to go. There's a door out there. You can go to, there's a whole heap of Hillsong churches out there. I'm telling you. But I guarantee you, if you do, every preacher that I know that preach from this pulpit will be reaping like Jeremiah. Think we want people to go? No way in the world. No way. No way. The people that have gone weeping, crying for those kids. Oh! Yeah. Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. But the hammer needs to come down. Just because people go doesn't mean you stop preaching. You keep preaching. In the last days, because people are just going to do this. Oh! That's all. Joel Osteen gets paid millions of dollars to give him a 25 minute of fluff. And they love it. They love it. 25 minutes of fluff. An hour time of dancing. Ungodly music. But that's the day we live in. We're living in a day of apostasy. And there's no doubt about it. We're living in that day. God is against those that say that God said when God didn't say. And we, as preachers, must be very careful when we speak. Make sure that God said it. Amen. Make sure, my friend. And if you don't know if it was God's will or God's in it, just be quiet. It's okay. It's okay to say, I really don't know if God's in this. We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. I'll find out a bit later on. It's okay. It's all right. Beware of using God's name. False teachers use the Bible terms, but they give different definitions. They give Bible terms. That's how you fall for it. They give Bible terms, and we fall for it. Because they're Bible terms, but they're twisted definitions. That's why the Bible says we ought to study the Word of God. And being Berean Christians and looking up verses in context. The great danger is taking verses out of context. Remember last Sunday we spoke about that. The devil is the king of taking the the word of God out of context. But notice, God is against those that make light of sin and cause others to sin. Have a look at verse 32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their, what's that word? Lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. How many people are sitting under prophets and preachers that are not even called? How many? They sit and they hear, and there's no profit for them. As a matter of fact, they've been abused, mishandled. Their feelings and emotions have been played with. That's heartbreaking. God's word is like a fire. God's word is like a hammer. I've got to keep moving along. And then God's word is like a sword. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I don't want to speak about what I spoke about last Sunday, because the sword of the Spirit is used to defend against evil or the wiles of the devil. And how do we do that? We do it through the Scriptures. It is written. And I spoke a little about that last Sunday. So I'm not going to labor here. I don't want to talk about the defense. I want to talk about the discernment. The Word of God is able to discern our hearts. And I think we need that more and more in this time that we live in. Why? Because we're living in a day of deception.
That's right.
And it's so easy to be deceived, because the Spirit doth work. What's the Spirit that is seductive? The seducing spirits of doctrines of devils. That's the day we live in.
Right.
We're living in those days, folks. And so have a look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God, notice this, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. To discern our motives, R. A. Torrey once said, you may talk about power, but if you neglect the one book that God has given you as the one instrument through which he imparts and exercises his power, you will not have it. You may read many books and go to many conventions, and you may have all-night prayer meetings to pray for the power of the Holy Ghost, but unless you keep in contrast and close association with this one book, the Bible, you will never have the power. If we are to have the power of God in our lives, we must do more than just read the Bible. I think we live in a day where people just spending their time reading the Bible, ticking the list, sitting down, anticipating when they're going to finish the chapter. That's the day we live in. And there are people that read many books passionately, but the Word of God is the only book that will read you powerfully. It's time that you let the Word of God read you. And if we get up and God hasn't spoken to our hearts and we've all just read the Bible, we have done nothing. Nothing but our religious duty. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful. Quick and powerful. This English word is living. Quick. It's living. It's the living word of God which endures forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The word of God is powerful to convict. Remember, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The word of the Lord, the word of God is powerful to convert, and that's the gospel. Paul the apostle said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God unto salvation to anyone that believes. The word of God is powerful to overcome evil. Notice the second part of that verse 12, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharper. You say, what do you mean sharper than any two-edged sword? Is there a two-edged sword out there, is there? Yes, there is. And there are many two-edged swords that will slice through flesh and bone, but not the spirit. Only God can discern the hearts. Only God can go that deep, but they can still do damage to the person. Absolutely.
We have the sword of the deceitful tongue. Proverbs 25:18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. But the word of God is sharper.
Amen.
So how do you overcome someone that's bearing false witness against you? How do you overcome? Live out the powerful word of God.
Amen.
Be blameless. That's how you overcome with a two-edged sword. When you live out the Bible and you're blameless. That's why Paul said to Titus, notice, I love this verse. He says this, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober. He said, Titus, tell the young men to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be what? Ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. When you live this sharp book, my friend, those accusations will just got to live it. They have nothing to say. They'll try to find something. They'll try to find a little sawdust. Yeah. And when they find the sawdust, my friend, confess it and forsake it and move on. But there ought not to be anything in your life that will slice you up and disqualify you. The word of God is able to keep you faithful to the end. Faithful to the end, because it's sharp and it's living and it's powerful. So what else does it destroy? Is there another two-edged sword out there? Yeah, there is. It's just the destroying tongue, the flattering tongue. Have a look at Proverbs chapter 5. He says, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thy ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a what? Oof. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. If you're a preacher and you want to ruin your ministry, my friend, you'll go to a person like this. But if you want to flee, you make sure that you're in this book, in the Proverbs, and that will be ringing in your ears. And when she comes along with those flattering tongue, the word of God will be sharper than her flattering lips.
Amen.
And you run. You put on the Joseph Suze, my friend, and you run. Run! Head for the hills! Because I guarantee you, if you're going to be preaching the word of God, she's coming. I'm telling you. She's coming. She's coming. Mark it down, Samson. Yeah. If Samson lived the word of God, he would have been able to discern toward the end of his life that Delilah just want to have him. Strong men have fallen. And listen, none of you here tonight is exempt. None of you is exempt. The right time, right place, right opportunity. So I'm strong. Only with the word of God you are. But if you're not in this book and you're far from this word, you're finished, my friend. I guarantee you. You know how many people I've heard in the Bible college being taught, one of my lecturers being... One of my lecturers. Story after story. Where are they now? What are they doing now? A statistic. But the word of God is sharper than that. So if you're in the word of God and you have the word of God in your heart, you're able to just cleanse your ways by taking heed unto thy word. But it not only is powerful, but it's piercing. Have a look. Piercing even, verse 12, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. God's word can pierce through the spiritual being of a person and dissect and discern the thoughts, the heart, the mind, the soul, every part of that person. Matthew Henry said, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, for it will enter where no other sword can and make a more critical dissection.
or crucial dissection. See, he says this, it makes a soul that has been long time of a proud spirit to be humble, of a perverse spirit to be meek and obedient. It cuts off the ignorance from the understanding, rebellion from the will, and enmity from the mind, which, when the carnal, is enmity itself against God. The sword divides between the joints and marrow, the most secret, close, and intimate part of the body. This sword can cut off the lust of the flesh as well as the lust of the mind, and make men willing to undergo the sharpest operation for mortifying of sin. Yeah. When you read the Holy Scriptures, you'll notice that God doesn't beat around the bush. He calls sin for what it is. You either deal with it or you're going to face the consequences of it. And then it's penetrating. Penetrating. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The thoughts, what we think about. I remember the first time I was ever under the Word of God, 16 years ago, the first time I sat down and heard the Word of God preached, I thought, how does that preacher know what I'm thinking? I felt so close to telling him, are you talking about me? Did Robert talk to you? Robert was the one that led me to the Lord, invited me to that church. Has he been talking to you about me? And I come to only realize that was the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. That's what the Word of God does. So how does he know what's going on in my life? No, God does. God knows what's going on in your life. And right now I can tell you 100%, I'm not even thinking about anybody. God is my witness right now when I'm preaching. I'm not thinking about anybody except Robert Bax. Because he's a false teacher. And I'll pull out the fire and the hammer and the sword for the sake of you folks. But I'm not hiding it. I'm not being ambiguous, am I? No. And by the way, if I had any problem with any one of you, I'll come up and tell you. I won't preach just for you. I'll come and tell you. And if it's not that bad and it's something that I have a problem with, and it's too bad, Charlie, suck it. Swallow it, do whatever you want, leave them alone, let them grow. Yes, Lord. Yep. Praise God for that. Sometimes the discernment that God gives, God says, hey, take it easy. You have discernment, you have the gift, but let it go. Let it go. Say, okay, Lord. But there's a time where you have to not let it go. And you'll know. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for people that will tell you that there's something wrong and needs to be changed. The Bible is very clear that the kisses of the enemy are deceitful, aren't they? They're deceitful. It pierces. I can't get to the fourth point. I'm just going to stay here, okay? It pierces. It penetrates. Look at Luke 16. I want to use an example here. Luke 16. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Look at this. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these and they derided him. So was he talking to his disciples? Yeah. They heard. They were eavesdropping. Oh. And then just, And you know what? Deride, lift up a nose at him. Who does he think he is? You know why people do that? Because they don't want to let go of their sin. They were covetous. You think they want... So, you know, when you preach on something that steps on your toes or, you know, makes you uncomfortable, the flesh is, who does he think he is? That's what it says. Yeah, you've all been there. The flesh says that, doesn't it? And they did it to Jesus. They derided him, lifted up their nose. Look at verse 15. And he says unto them, ye are that which justify yourself before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. That's a rebuke. But by the way, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Amen? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But not only thoughts, but the intents of the heart, our motives. Why do we do what we do? Ironside said men presumed to criticize and sit in judgment of the Word of God. But here we are told that the Word itself is the supreme critic of our innermost thoughts and inclination. The reason the Word of God penetrates is because the Word of God is truth. It's truth. It's all truth. Nothing but the truth. I remember at times when I was challenged, somebody opening up the Word of God, or we're just talking in a public forum about something, whether it be about music, or, especially my early days when I had a lot of cleanup to do, the Lord had a lot of cleanup to do. Man, I just wouldn't go and search it out, because I knew if I went to search it out and it was true, I would have to get rid of it. But God will just speak to my heart about it, and I'll delay the process. That's why the psalmist said, I made haste to obey. Praise God for that. You'll grow to obey what God is doing. But you know why we delay? Because we still want to do what we want to do. That's why we delay. That's why we're not willing to search it out and get the light and have a look and look at it very clearly and prove it and test it, just in case that if it's true, I'd have to let it go. I remember when talking to this man, Jonathan, in Singapore airport, and I was witnessing to him about the gospel. And God began to deal with his heart. In the beginning, he said, what's this you give me? Is this God stuff? I said, man, not the way you see it or you think of it. Look, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about God that loves you, mate. I had all the time. I was waiting there for 10 hours, I think. I had nowhere to go, waiting for my next flight. And thank God he opened the door, and I got to sow the seed right in his heart. Spoke about different subjects, even to the point where he was actually said, where do babies go? And all I could tell him is, look, listen, God is a just God, and God will not hold anyone accountable that doesn't know about their sinful state. God, look, I'm just going to let God be God, but you, my friend, you know. He goes, yeah, thanks to you. And I think, this God, God's word is penetrating. It's working. This is the guy that said this is about God stuff. I said, yeah, but thanks to you. But bro, this could be good news for you. Don't resist it. This is, you know, God's work in your heart. He said, I was quite fine until I met you. Nah, ignorance is a curse, my friend. You know, ignorance is a curse. There's no excuse. But God loved him so much that the word of God of the gospel went straight down to his heart. And now he's living without excuse. And that's what God wants. Jonathan. Yeah, do you know why some people feel bad about being Bible bashed when you're sharing the good news? Because of the penetrating word of God. That's why. The word of truth. There's nothing wrong with the message, by the way. And I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. And I'm not going to make any man make me think I'm ashamed of it. No, I'm not going to do it. It's good news. It's truth that will make you free. But one or two things, either they're sinners and they're in rebellion against God, don't want God, or they're listening to these false prophets. That's what takes place. When they listen too much of that sugar-coated message, they get spiritual diabetes. But God's word is even able to penetrate through the one that is spiritually obese. On the fluff and the sugar they've been eating from these false prophets that make them feel good. But their judgment lingereth, my friend. It's coming. It's coming. So what's good about the Word of God? It prepares us to stand blameless in that day. Because at that day, like we heard this morning, God's going to try the hearts, the counsel of the hearts, every single one of us. And so if the Word of God's penetrating and operating in our hearts, guess what we can do on that day? We can stand blameless. And that's how God wants us to stand. Blameless in His presence with confidence. But we have to let the Word of God operate now. Now. Do its work. Cut in. Dissect. You know, God cuts us to help us, not to hurt us. Love what it was said about Zechariah and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless.
John says, "Now, little children, abide in me, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Listen, to abide in him is to abide in his sayings, in his word, to walk in him. And if we walk in the word, in the light of his word, and we trust and obey, then there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. To stand in that day, the word of God making us ready, the fire exposing the false prophets, the hammer that just hammers it down, making sure he breaks the hard hearts. And the word of God that comes in and tests the heart of every man. The word of God is powerful, my friends. It's powerful. It's powerful. And it's able to do what God purposed it to do. You see, a lot of people, you see that stiff-necked, hard-faced, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the word of God. It's our responsibility to keep preaching and keep praying and keep practicing and be patient with long-suffering. Until that day when he comes, my friend, I don't know about you, but I want to stand blameless that day. We know we're not going to stand perfect, but we want to be perfected. We want to be found in God's will. Listen, this is the only way we're going to do it. This is the only way. There's no other way. This is the only way. The powerful word of God. And so by God's grace, I pray that every one of us will take heed tonight. And by the way, if you go back and you think, oh, you know, that, you know, his pitch is, Pastor Bax, his pitch is public. He's got a public ministry. Anyone that has a public ministry, we have a right to expose. They have a right to say whatever they want about our preaching if it's wrong. And by the way, God said to mark them out. If you just have to read your Bible and you'll notice that God wants us to mark them out, I think it's about time. It's about time. I really do. That people get marked out. Sin under the carpet. Seen it too much that makes me want to throw up, and I got fire in my bones. And I don't care if I'm not popular. I'm not here to be popular. I'm here to just proclaim the truth of God's word. I don't want to be loved. I don't. I want to be faithful. Like Jeremiah was faithful. And preach the word. And I pray that you would hearken to the word of God. You would hearken to the fire of God's word, to the hammer of God's word, and to the sword of God's word, that you will not be a statistic, and that you would stand in that day. Amen? Amen.